I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Ben Swan. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Always glad to be here.
Nice to have you this fine morning. And I have to say, we haven't had you on for a while.
We haven't had
our dog and cat adoption fix.
Got to have it every once in a while. Right, but I'm here whenever you want, or anybody can call me up and I can give them their fix for the day. That's what I try to do every day on Facebook, give everybody their dog or cat or rabbit fix.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, if you are on Facebook but you're not connected to the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, you should definitely do it, because I have to say your communications people are just first rate. The photographs and videos of your animals just make your heart melt.
Thank you. Yeah, we really try hard. And it's not just the dogs and cats and rabbits that we try to showcase, but just what we do at the shelter for the community and for everybody, animal-loving community here. And it's just a fun place to really know every day what's going on at the shelter, the Facebook page.
So let's talk about some of the actual animals that you've got going on. Because, I mean, there are animals that come in. Sometimes there's, like, my latest dog is from a litter of stray puppies that somebody
Goose.
Found and brought
Goose's
in. Yeah,
mom.
Mother Goose and her puppies. That was a very successful situation, because those dogs were really loved from the moment they were found by some kind person who nurtured them, and then they were brought to the animal shelter, and then they went into foster care with nice people who I actually coincidentally met, and then every single animal was adopted out. Happy story. Not all the stories are so happy.
Well, that's true. And so, for example, we just recently, one of our dogs, Pepper, he's a German Shepherd, Shar Pei mix, a beautiful dog who's really shy and frightened dog. His story is that he was adopted out, and he unfortunately didn't bond with the person right initially. And what happened was, she was out for a walk, he bolted, and nobody could catch him. He was out running around the streets of Santa Fe for more than a year. And the Arroyos, everybody was feeding him. They had sidings, but he was just so shy and frightened that nobody could catch him. And eventually, Steve and Yvette Dobby, who lived here at the time, we're talking 3 years ago, created a Pepper's posse, and they would get up every morning at dawn, and they knew exactly what Pepper would do. And they finally captured him. They were able to corner him into a yard. They spent the night surveilling, watching the yard as he went in and got some food, and then shut the gate on him. Got him. We found him a sanctuary in Northern California. I drove him out myself, and unfortunately, that sanctuary closed down. And so, when Steve Dobby found out about this, he went up on one day. It's an 8-hour drive. Picked up Pepper, brought him back to Southern California, and his wife Yvette drove him over to the shelter. And Pepper is back with us, and he's adjusting to life kind of enclosed. But you know, we have
he can't be happy.
If
he lived free for a year, that dog wants to be free.
And the sanctuary itself was really great for him, because he had like 300 acres where he could romp around and with horses and things like that. But it didn't work out, unfortunately. But he's back with us, and we're looking for a home for him eventually, once we get him relaxed and he's happy. Actually, he's a much different dog now than he was when he left. He's probably, they say, 40% better, but he is more used to people, and he's I'm surprised he's in our new behavior center, and he has a very large suite with an outside area to run around in, and he stays inside. So he's just sort of checking things out. But this dog is so intelligent, it's kind of incredible. This just happened a few days ago, where we knew he was coming in, so I called up a couple people who were on the Pepper's posse and some people who worked with him to see him, and it was just, it was wonderful to see these dogs. It's not so wonderful that he's back, but that's okay. You know, that's what we do. If things don't work out, we always believe that it's going to work out next time or the next time, and we learn something about these dogs every time they come back.
What would be the ideal home for that kind of dog, for that particular dog?
So Pepper would need an area where he can run around in. Ideally, he
we're not talking about a yard.
No.
We're talking about a ranch. I mean, or what?
We would think a ranch would be the best kind of place for him, where it's secured. and he can just have free reign. And also, we really want, you know, the sanctuary was great, but nobody lived on that sanctuary. And so he didn't really bond there either. So we think that he will, when he comes to his next home, if we find a sanctuary for him, that would be great. But someplace where the person really wants a dog who is independent and is sweet and beautiful, and also eventually works with a, you know, really getting that bond, establishing a bond. And that, you know, I personally have several dogs that I've had over the course of the years who were shy and frightened and shut down, and it takes time, but they do bond with you, and that's with Pepper. I think that if you give him some time, he's going to bond with you. He's going to be a great animal for you.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong if you've got a lot of land of having a dog who runs free. You feed him, and maybe over the years, you know, you'll get to know him better and he'll get to know you better, but, you know, it might not be your lap dog, but that's okay.
Exactly. And, you know, the great thing about the Santa Fe Animal Shelter is that when we see, you know, we are very flexible, and we see a lot of New Mexico dogs who are outside, who prefer to be outside, and we actually developed a program around them called a FUA. So that means outside. And essentially we know these dogs like to be outside. We create a dog house for them outside and secure, you make sure they're safe and secure, and then work with them to really get used to people. And, you know, a lot of times these afuera dogs become inside dogs.
Afuera.
Afuera.
Yeah,
exactly. My Spanish is very bad.
The coin dropped after a moment. Now, there are some other dogs. I mean, that dog was a dog who, for whatever reason, whatever his background, wanted to be free and is now, you know, in a kind of transitional situation. Then there are some dogs who are just horribly abused. Like, there was one that I think, do you have him now, that was used literally for bow and arrow target practice?
Right, that's another sad story. Zavaria, she's a really sweet, incredible dog. It's really interesting. She came into the clinic, I think it was about 5 years ago or four, and the owner, the dog had a habit of digging under the fence, and he thought that she had hurt herself by digging under the fence. When we took her into the clinic, we noticed that there was a bow and arrow, an arrow in her head.
An actual arrow.
Yes, that we had to dig out, that our veterinarians dug out. And also her leg had been injured, severed essentially because of an arrow, and so we did have to amputate her leg. Zavaria, and
so she's a three-legged dog.
She's a three-legged dog.
There, I have to say, there's quite a number of those in the dog park, and they do remarkably well. There's one I just didn't even know it was three-legged for a while, and then I noticed it. It's like, oh, is that dog limping? Oh.
Many people in the animal welfare community say that dogs are born with three legs and a spare, because it doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes
no, the
it
dogs
does.
Are happy.
Yeah, the dogs are fine. They just hop around, you know.
So tell us more about this.
Oh,
dog.
Yeah, Zavaria.
I mean, do you know who the perpetrators
no,
were?
No, we offered $5,000 reward at the time. Yeah. And didn't hear anything. We helped Zavaria's owner sort of secure the yard so he couldn't escape. But recently the owners decided that she's just not safe. So he relinquished her to us, and now we're finding a new home for her. But she's a wonderful, sweet dog who it would make somebody a great animal companion. So we really, you know, like I said, sometimes things don't work out. We want them always to work out well. But if they don't, that's why we're there. We're a safety net. We're there to help those animals get another chance.
One of the things about the Santa Fe Animal Shelter is that because of, I guess, a combination of the fact that this is an affluent community and you guys have been around for a long time and done excellent fundraising and really put your ducks in a row, you have resources that most animal shelters in the state or most animal shelters in general probably don't have. And so you get into situations like there was one recently where another animal shelter in the state basically relinquished to you, what, several dozen animals?
So you're talking about the Grants Animal Shelter, yeah. You know, through the years, we've been able to be a place where we can take in animals, help other animal shelters out in our state and elsewhere when we have the resources for that. And recently, the Grants Animal Shelter reached out to us because they knew of a hoarding case. They were expecting, they didn't know how many, maybe 80 animals. And they have a capacity of maybe 80 animals there at their shelter, maybe fewer. And so they asked if we could help. And at that time, we thought we could, and we went. Our team went down there. We were going to, with the intention of just taking a few animals, as many as we could. We decided to clear out the whole shelter because we just knew that we wanted to make sure that those animals were safe and the hoarding animals were safe when they came in. So we took over 57 animals.
Now, hoarding, for people who don't know what that term means, is when somebody basically fills their house with more animals than they can really take care of?
There's a couple ways of looking at it. It can be a psychological issue, a mental issue, where people are trying, they have the best intentions, they're helping out, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe the animals aren't spayed or neutered. This happens a lot with people who have cats. They save one or save two, and all of a sudden there's three and six, and then it just, you know, they think they're doing the best thing, and they're worried about the health of the animals. But unfortunately, in those situations when there's so many animals, it can be very dangerous for those animals, because, you know, inbreeding creates different kinds of diseases. So, yeah, we think the best thing to do with those people in those kind of situations is to work with them through social services so it doesn't perpetuate. So what we try to do is reach out to them with social service agencies and slowly bring in the animals, spay and neuter as many as we can, help them get services that they know they can get back to a balance. Yeah. That's the most important thing. In this particular case in Grants, I'm not really sure exactly what it was. We just knew that they were going to get at least 80 animals, and we wanted to help them out. And so we took a lot of them were puppies, really. So we took 57 animals. That was on a Thursday. On a Friday, we had a transfer from another partner shelter, and so we had 30 more animals. So we had almost 100 extra dogs in 2 days. It was like, usually that's like a hoarding situation for us when we get all those animals in. But, you know, in hoarding situations, as I mentioned, many of those animals are ill and they have to be euthanized or for a variety of reasons. It's a sad situation. And so I would recommend anybody who knows anything about that to call the animal welfare services and find out how we can stop that. We expect about a hoarding case once a year at least to impact the shelter, and that's about the average.
If it's a hoarding case in a county as relatively low population as Santa Fe, imagine what's happening in bigger cities and metropolitan areas.
Yeah, it's true. And it's interesting, especially those urban areas. You know, I was at a workshop last year in Philadelphia, and you didn't really think there was, you know, those row houses. You're thinking like, oh, there's not that many animals. But you open up the door, and there's like lots of it. Everybody has animals.
Yeah.
You don't think that. You think that, oh, New Mexico is a place for animals because there's lots of space. But no, people have animals everywhere.
I mean, if you could make a map of New York City and just put a dot for every different kind of animal. I mean, there's, you know, there's boa constrictors and ferrets and probably
everything. There's
a tiger or a leopard somewhere.
Let's hope not.
I know, but you know there is.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we're talking to Ben Swan of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and I find it, you know, I think it's so wonderful that you do what you do, and I've been thinking lately about how I so wish that our community did the same thing for kids in need.
Yeah, there's always this thing about people think like, oh, well, why are you helping animals when people need it as well? And that is, you know, I think that our community is big enough for everything. So.
Oh, yeah. Our community is big enough for everything, but there's something about the vulnerability of animals. And also, I mean, animals, you can confine them, and there's much stronger rules about what you can and can't do with human beings, and it's much harder, and I mean, it's harder to deal, I think, with an abused person who's acting out than an abused animal who's acting out.
Well, there's different techniques that you use, definitely, for animals.
Yeah.
But, you know, animals are, essentially, humanity has created them. They are our responsibility, and
yeah,
we must take care of them. So that's what we're charged with doing. And luckily, the community, Santa Fe, is so wonderful in that we can help as many animals as we can and as many people as we can. You know, recently, the shelter has been working with St. Elizabeth's shelter to make sure that those people who have animals that don't want to go into the homeless shelter or camp because they have a dog, that they that they will do that because we built some kennels on their property, and we just started this program, but it's where people who have who are homeless and have dogs, they can hit their animal overnight in a kennel that's secure, and then they can go into the shelter and get the services they need. I really think it's important that those people have the services they need, and they also know that their animals are safe.
So. Very important. Great program. Awesome Santa Fe Animal Shelter. Now, you've got a whole bunch of other things going on, and one of the things that you have is a behavior center?
Yeah, so the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, we've been very fortunate because we have a public hospital, a veterinary hospital, and our clinic staff is improved and larger, and we are able to really medically help any animal that comes through our doors. We can do all kinds of surgeries and stuff, but we've found through the years that there's always a percentage of dogs, especially, that just need extra time, and they consume a lot of our time. And we were able to secure some funding for a new behavior center on our campus property, and it's right behind the shelter. It's a beautiful building, very simple, but it's designed with dogs in mind, with shy and fearful dogs in mind. And that's where Pepper is right now, and some other dogs that need just some time out before we can work with them in a way that get them back into a family.
How do you design buildings with shy dogs in mind? What do you put in them for shy dogs?
Sure. So the thing about the shelter, we try to make it as nice as possible, but it's loud, it's noisy, there's a lot of things going on, there's a lot of people poking in and looking at you. When you're frightened and shy, you don't want that. So what we designed this at top, from bottom to top, with dogs in mind. Rubberized floors, so this deadens the sound, sound absorbing tiles on the roof, on the ceiling, doors that are etched glass, they're taller, so you can, nobody's really, The dogs can't jump over them, and you can still open them up and sort of talk to the dog and things like that. And noiseless doors that just, you know, there's a lot of bang and bustle when people have to open the door and clean it. And there's also movable walls, essentially, that we can close off a section of it and have a class, and the dogs won't hear that noise. And, you know, just some really great things that we're still developing as we're going along. It's really just opened a few weeks ago, and we haven't even had the dedication. We're going to have that end of the month.
Do you pipe in music for dogs?
We do, actually. You know, there's always, if you could come to our shelter at night, there you'd hear this music. It's a soothing, calming music. The dogs, you know, like I said, the shelter is not a home, but we try to make it as comfortable as possible. And so when we feed them, and walk them, and then when it's time to, you know, they have their toys, they have their beds, and they have this music that's very calming.
Now, we often talk more about dogs than about cats, mm-hmm. and then we bring back cats and how important they are, but you've got other animals at the shelter as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of bunny house rabbits, and Dylan Moore, who's our adoptions director, he has a background in exotic animals, so we've been able to take in snakes and different kinds of things more than we have in the past. So we've been helping, and turtles, big turtles.
Turtles?
Yeah, we've had some turtles in here.
Do you have any turtles up for adoption?
Well, I think we have one baby turtle. I just took two turtles to someone's house in their pond, a beautiful pond, that are set them free. So it was nice for them to have that. They had a big koi fawn, and so it was perfect. Those are red sliders, and people can get them anywhere. But we've had some box turtles and other kind of turtles that need a bit more care, and we've been able to successfully find great adopters for those animals.
Yeah, my awareness of house rabbits has definitely been raised by the shelter.
Yeah, I love bunnies. They, you know, we have dedicated volunteers who come in every day without fail to exercise those bunnies, make sure they're getting proper nutrition, and to talk to people about having a house bunny. House bunnies, as you know, live 10 to 12 years. They can be litter box trained. They're just fun. They're like the perfect animal for more smaller areas. They're not more nocturnal, so they're asleep while they're asleep while you're away, and then you can play with them or, you know, just have them at your feet most of the day.
So they sleep while you're at work.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then you come home and have dinner and hang out and sit on the couch and they play with them.
Yeah, there's something very soothing about them, I think. You know, you have to rabbit-proof your house. They do go after electrical cords and stuff, but so do puppies. I've got 9 puppies in my office right now that have been growing the last 3 weeks with Scout, their mom, and those guys are just everywhere, so you have to watch
Yeah, I have replaced my computer charger a number of times over the last 6 months.
I have cockatiels at home who fly around, and unfortunately, they love to. Yeah, those Macintosh power things are expensive.
Yeah, and tasty.
Yeah, tasty apparently. Yeah. So yeah, we really the shelter has any. We try to match the animals with the best people possible, and we also offer counseling for those people who need it about making sure the relationships stay intact. And that's why we have such a great behavior team, and that's why we have such a great veterinary team that can really help people keep those relationships intact.
We're talking to Ben Swan of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Now, one of the mainstays of your and really every shelter is your spay-neuter programs.
That's true.
And you have remarkably affordable, to the point of sometimes free, spay-neuter programs.
So we're very fortunate at the Animal Shelter that we have a donor who so believes in spay-neuter that she is funding two free spay-neuter clinics every week, Thursdays and Sundays. Anybody who comes in and makes an appointment will get their animal spayed and neutered for free, and we throw in the vaccinations as well. She's really awesome, and we've been able to do that for more than a year now, a year and a half, almost two.
That's crazy. Good
yeah,
crazy.
It's good crazy. We do about 25 animals every single clinic. And those who can't make those times, we also have very affordable. We have programs that offer free spay and neuter for cats and free spay and neuter for different kinds of animals. There's really no reason why people can't get the animals spayed or neutered and help reduce animal suffering through controlling animal overpopulation. And we also have a spay and neuter van, our clinic, that goes out into the communities and offers spay and neutering. Basically what happens is the community decides, you know, there's a certain amount that they rent the basically 1 day or 2 day clinic, and they... we go there, like, for example, we were in Taos a couple weeks ago. We did 68 cats in 1 day.
Oh, my goodness.
And
so the need is there and people show up.
Yeah, they do. Well, really, you know, we love those working with communities who identify a problem, and they are so motivated at getting people out there, and they spread the word. We don't have to do anything. And that's just the way it works, because we want the communities to take responsibility for their problems. For example, Adam Gallegos, he is in Guadalupe County, that's Santa Rosa, and he lives in Santa Rosa, and he's been remarkable in convincing the county commissioners there that spay-neuter is important. And every year they host a 3-day event in different communities in Guadalupe County. They don't have a veterinarian there, and they do have one that's part-time, comes in.
There's a whole county without a veterinarian?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of places in New Mexico that have no veterinarian. They have a veterinarian that comes in once a week for a half a day from Las Vegas, New Mexico. Yeah, it's hard to believe. And so these people are really need the services. And Adam saw that need, and he created, he got a certain amount of money to hold these clinics. And we've been there. This is the second year that we've been doing it consistently. And we were in Anton Chico on Friday, and then we were in Santa Rosa on Saturday, and then we were in Vaughan on Sunday, where we picked up a stray dog and her puppy, beautiful dog. That happens a lot, where people say, this dog is a stray. We've seen it have give birth or to like 3 litters of puppy. Can you do something for it? And we took that dog home, or to the shelter, and found a home for it and the puppy as well.
Oh my goodness. So when you get huge amounts of dogs, as you have recently, how hard is it to get them all adopted out? I mean, I know that you guys do very well with adopting animals out. I suppose it's probably easier when they're small, easier when they're puppies.
Yeah, so it varies. But luckily, you know, we're talking a little bit about transferring animals in. Well, we also have a vibrant transfer program out as well. We work with Colorado shelters, and they are always looking for mostly puppies, but also they also take bigger dogs. And so we've found through the years that it's really the variety of animals that you have drives traffic into the shelter, and that's our success in finding new homes for all these animals. Yeah, it was difficult, especially some of the dogs that came in from grants. They had a little bit of colds. It took some time for us to get them healthy. But, you know, I made a plea to our Facebook fans, and people were there. They knew that we had a need for helping find new homes for animals, and they just spread the word around, and that's what we rely on. We rely on word of mouth and people on our Facebook fans and everywhere else just to come out and fall in love.
So it's just about time to go. I want to give you a moment to talk about our dear friends. I mean, God special knows best. There's gazillions of animals there, but you have selected two.
Well, you know, I have talked about a few, Pepper and Zavaria, and obviously cats are really important. And we're starting up the kitten season. There's some few kittens coming in, but we do have older cats that I think that people should really come out and visit with. Chella is one of them. She's a brown and tan Siamese mixed cat. She's her fur is mocha latte is what they call it. And she's being sponsored this month by a supporter who just loves animals but has enough animals. And so a lot of people will sponsor an animal. That means their adoption fee is waived. And they also help out with other things. And then I did want to note Padme is also is a dog.
Sort Padme of a, says, pat me.
Pat me. She's a shy dog. And she was found in a running around forest in Glorieta. And so we don't know how long she was there, but she's healthy and happy now. She just needs a little time to get to know you before she comes out of her shell. Like a lot of these dogs, they have to learn to trust again. And then I did want to say that, you know, we do have all these incredible programs, and it's through the support that really helps us be able to do so much outreach. If people are interested, we do have a month-long campaign on CrowdRise. And the CrowdRise is an online fundraising campaign, and I would encourage people to go to our website and link to that CrowdRise campaign. We're in the running against many shelters in the nation, and whoever raises the most money gets grants, like a $50,000 grant. We won that last year.
sfhumanesociety.org is the website. Ben Swan is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. And what's the phone number over there?
983-4309.
Oh, and one more thing. There's a bunny event coming up.
Yes, Saturday. We'll be at PetSmart. Usually the bunnies are there. We're usually there from noon to 3. The bunnies will be there probably around the same time. And we have gotten a lot of bunnies in now lately, and luckily the Santa Fe community supports house bunnies, and we're hoping to find some really great homes for those bunnies. So please stop by. Free nail trimming for a home for those people who have bunnies. They love to do that for them. So please find out about bunnies and come to PetSmart.
Ben Swan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.